T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
So the draft was this weekend. You didn't know. I don't know what rock you was living under. But the Texans, with the number 67 overall draft pick, early in the third round, they selected quarterback Davis Mills out of Stanford. And look, I knew the Texans quarterback coach Pep Hamilton had the inside scoop with his relationship with the head coach of the Stanford football team and the former head coach of Davis Mills. But, damn, I didn't know it was this deep. Listen to David Shaw from earlier in the day on Sports Radio 610. Listen to him and just his opinion and his take on Texans passing game coordinator, Texans quarterback coach Pep Hamilton.
Well, Pep has been in contact with us. I've heard so many things on TV that this came out of the blue and nobody knew anything. All these teams have been doing this research for months, right? A lot of the teams draft guys because they don't want to clue people into who they're looking at. But I had talked to Pep a while ago, and honestly, I've been talking to Pep. He's a good friend of mine. We had talked about Davis Mills for the last 3 years, and he had talked to our offensive coordinator. So we've had some discussions about what we think about him. He told us what he sees on the film. Two reasons why I love Pep being there. One is Pep knows our offense. And the transition, I think, will be smoother for Davis because of that. Pep will be able to relate what they're doing in Houston to things that we did and have a good way to transition. But at the same time, I mean, Pep Hamilton coached Andrew Luck both in college and in the NFL. Pep Hamilton had a big hand in the young quarterback's rise down there with the Chargers this past year. And I think he's going to have a big hand in preparing Davis Mills for the Texans offense.
Hey, if David Shaw, if he gets tired of coaching, he can just he can go into the agent business. Sound like he was pushing Pep Hamilton for a head coach job, wasn't he?
Or something, or at least at least letting us know how involved yes. he was in the process. I mean, it makes sense, but like we talked about this with John McClain on Friday, like where hey man, I wonder who has more influence on the offensive side of the ball with picks. Would it be Chip Kelly or would it be Pep Hamilton? Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator, you would think by title it would be him. Man, you got to believe that. Hell, not got to. There's David Shaw letting us know. Oh, yeah. It's like a recruiter yes. in college, and he was the point person on this one.
Well, there's no secret that Pep Hamilton had the heavy hand in the Davis Mills selection in the third round, early in the third round. I mean, this is a guy that without that connection that you just heard from David Shaw, if Pep Hamilton didn't have that connection, I don't think that the Texans draft Davis Mills. I really don't. I mean, there's too many quote unquote red flags. He probably came out a year early. The injuries from with the same knee from high school and in college, and then when you look at the sample size of film that you have to study the guy, there's just a lot of red flags is the wrong way to put it. There's a lot of concerns, and the only way an organization could get beyond those concerns with a quarterback is some kind of inside relationship that there was an abnormal amount of trust there that could be tapped into. And it's clear Pep Hamilton tapped into that with not only Davis Mills, But I think when you look at Nico Collins, I think their relationship there with the Michigan organization, the Michigan program, was big as well.
One thing that I do respect looking at this and the impact of Pep Hamilton, because Nick Caserio and company knew this was going to be a bit, not controversial. People were going to have an opinion on it, especially locally. Oh, with the first pick, you don't have a first or second round pick, and you're drafting a quarterback who's had 11 starts? Their give a F factor is really high. I mean, they just, I mean, they're, they, I mean, I don't even know if they think twice about this of, nah, they're, we, who gives, who cares? Who cares? I don't care what people say, but you got, I gotta, you gotta give them credit for that. Their give a F factor is strong.
White 80, wide 80. So we talked about it on this show multiple times about the Texans' focus going into this draft needed to be heavy defense. We weren't the only ones. Nobody knows the Texans better than NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. And, yeah, he mentioned the quarterback approach, but he also mentioned defense consistently. And John Harris, sideline analyst, nobody knows. When you combine the Texans, when you combine Texans football with the NFL draft, there's nobody more in the know. And John Harris – These were his thoughts when he joined us last week. We asked him about what the Texans needed to focus on in this draft.
Clint, I think we got to cover somebody. I mean, the corners last year had two picks all year. Two. I mean, it was insane to watch game after game after game going, man, our guy's going to get a pick. I mean, our J.J. Watt tied for the team leading interceptions last year.
It's... There's no question about it going into this draft. If you just look at what the Texans did last year, how bad their defense was as a unit, and that consisted of many, many guys playing different positions and in and out of the lineup, there's no doubt about it that there are priorities to what needs to be addressed with this football team. Starting now, not in 2 years when all of a sudden it's – no, starting now, there are priorities with this football team that need to be fixed. And there's no question about it that the defense this season, this offseason, the defense was going to need much more attention than the offense. And that's with or without Deshaun Watson. Look, I know it's real convenient right now to go, oh, well, they can go offense and they need best available and they need – there is zero doubt about it that the defense for the Houston Texans is going to take significantly more work to fix – whether we're talking about depth, whether we're talking about talent, whether we're talking about the D-line, the linebackers at second level, or the secondary at third level. There are major issues at each and every level of the football field. And it's going to take some significant moves to address the needs on defense. I was blown away that they didn't address those needs immediately in the draft.
Yeah, the ones where they did were the last two draft picks yes. They had, and they were later in the draft. And, Clint, I'm sorry. I look at this, and I first saw they didn't draft any defensive players with their first three picks. I thought, man, this is – you just don't have any building sure. blocks that are going to be longer than a year or two left there. Right. You don't have any building blocks. And I just – you look at Lovey, and it's like, what kind of chance does he have here with the crew that he's got? And I just couldn't – two interceptions from corners,
yeah.
And they didn't even sniff that position.
I'm not even being harsh about the decision to go offense. I mean, like I said before, we talked about it. Hell, you were all for a big bodied yeah. wide receiver. I mean, so I don't look at the draft, and I'm not disappointed that you took a quarterback that some say was the sixth best quarterback in this draft, not the eighth, and there's plenty of reason to think that he's nowhere near his ceiling. So I'm not sitting here banging on it. I'm just simply trying to tell you that there's when they drafted three straight and were aggressively moved up to draft an offensive player, but drafted three straight players. Your three most premium picks in this draft were offensive players. I get it, best available. I get it, and I'm sure they'll be great for the Texans, but. To think that going into it, to think that the Texans would have had their three most premium picks, they'd have said, nah, don't worry about that defense. We're going to go offense with it.
Every one of them.
It's convenient to say that right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for us to sit here and have a conversation.
An offensive skilled guy.
Right.
When you're rebuilding.
Right. That was, yeah.
That was all interesting to me.
It's like, each one of those picks in a vacuum, I love them. I think they're great picks. I think there's great value there. I think there's high ceilings there. I think there's a lot of production there if the coaches can just do their job and put these guys in position to win ball games. And, hell, look, I love offensive football. Nobody loves talking and scheming and and studying offensive football more than I do. I absolutely love it. So I'm okay with these picks. But I'm still – I can say that and go, hey, man, I'm concerned about the defense, bro. Like, you're hanging your hat on Ross Blacklock developing, Malik Collins playing at or above the level that he played with the Cowboys, four different outside linebackers transitioning to defensive ends, right? I mean, I saw somebody's depth chart.
And the first defensive player they took was an interior linebacker, which, man, they had Show. How many of those guys have they signed?
Show, I looked at a, and I don't even remember who this was, but it was somebody that I follow in Houston. I don't follow people that I don't appreciate their, you know, their opinions. It was Shaq Lawson on one end, Whitney Merciless on the other end, Blacklock and Charles Omenihu inside. That ain't gonna get it done, boss. That ain't it. So that can't be it. And that can't be it. And it can't be, oh, well, this is a 2-year project. They'll address the defense down the road. No, man. What this told me was that they believe in the guys, they believe in their coaching ability to adjust those outside linebacker types to defensive end. They believe in the linebackers and the defensive linemen that they signed. They believe in at least those guys creating enough volume of competition inside that they can pick and choose the ones that they want to keep around this year or even next year. But they're okay and comfortable with the free agents they signed. That makes sense to me. But the whole, it's a 2-year project. They're not going to win with the draft. No, man, I can't get with that now.
Yeah, I can't believe it. No corners, no pass rusher. That is borderline shocking to me.
Come on.
Because they don't even have any real young players that you can say, all right, because they moved Lonnie to safety. They don't have any real young players outside of Ross Blacklock where you look there and you say, all right, we got him for several years, and we think he can grow potentially. I mean, I just thought they would want to add something.
Well, it's clear, Show, right, that they just believed in investing in, or maybe it was just the numbers, man. Maybe it's just the way things fell in free agency to where you go, hey, we got several linebackers inside and out. We got a couple of defensive ends. We got a D tackle, couple of D tackles. And then you free agent unfolds and you look at your roster and you go, hey, guys, we're heavy. We believe in the volume and the competition we've created on defense. Now, what are we going to do on offense? Or, hey, you know what? Screw all of it. We're in a rebuild. We got to take the best available, right? So you go take the best available. But that don't mean there's not some major concerns on defense that need to be addressed. And anybody that you talked to before the draft, that knew this roster believed there were some major holes in the defensive side of the football. Big surprise. They go offense, but I think individually they got really good value, man.
They got
really good value.
Yep, they've got multiple guys. They got at least two guys in this draft, in Nico Collins and the tight end they took out of Miami that could potentially outplay where they're drafted.
They potentially got two starters in this draft.
Potentially. We'll see how soon they can be two starters. But they potentially do. They have guys that look like they have talent. David Shaw, the head coach at Stanford, he said a lot. And if you missed that, use that Odyssey app and go check it out and listen to him. He was on In the Loop earlier today at 1 o'clock. But if you did not hear what he said he believes Davis Mills brings to the table and what the Texans will be getting out of him, we'll let you hear that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, Booger McFarland, who was there for ESPN covering the draft, two-time Super Bowl champion.
Boog was front line and center, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I got to tell you about that green suit he had on Friday. I want a piece of that. I like that kind of confidence. He was clean every day.
Hey, I was sitting in here, and we're watching and talking the draft, and I can't hear him, but I can see him in that big TV back behind that screen doing work. I'm like, Boog's back there doing work, but I can't hear a damn word he's saying.
Oh, he was bringing it. He was bringing it clean as a whistle, so – yeah, Booger McFarland coming up behind us. So you are coming up here at about 4:30, 4:35. So you make sure you're staying here with us. David Shaw, the head coach of the Stanford Cardinal, which he was the coach of the Texans, new quarterback they drafted at pick 67 over the weekend on Friday. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says that Davis Mills brings to the table for the Texans.
There's a reason why this guy was the number one quarterback coming out of high school. In high school, we saw his athleticism, his accuracy, his arm strength, his leadership, all the things you're looking for. You never know how that stuff develops in college. What you're getting is a tough, smart, accurate, athletic guy that has command. He will match the offense as soon as possible. And when you see him play, there's play that you think a quarterback should be able to make on your level, he'll make it.
All right, there is a strong praise from David Shaw, his coach. Now, this is his coach. Now, Clint, I know you will give us the real. I don't know how much you've watched of Davis Mills since the Texans drafted him, but I'm sure it's been probably more than most. And you've watched him play. You've played the position. You've played in the NFL. You've coached young kids and coached them. Is this fluff from a head coach in David Shaw just really loving up his guy, or should Texans fans really take what he's saying legit?
I think we should take it legit. I think we should take it as serious evaluation of the quarterback. I mean, he didn't just say he's a good kid. He works hard. He's a good leader. I mean, he went into, hey man, if you can scheme some stuff up at the NFL level and get guys open, he'll make the throw. I mean, he went into some depth on Davis Mills and I don't want to tell anybody else how to take it, but I take David Shaw's a guy that's not a smoke blower to me, in my opinion. Now he's a college coach.
Other ways to say it.
Well, he's a college coach. He's a recruiter. I get it. But when you hear him speak, it's next level type of stuff. It's not just smoke. It's not just fluff. It would be hard to make those things up about a quarterback if you didn't believe it.
Clint, he went even further. He said he sent out all the tape, made tape of his throws and said, I would put his tape up against any quarterback that was in the draft.
Yeah. I mean,
Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, all of them.
Well, here's the thing is what a lot of people don't understand is if these coaches, everybody says, oh, well, they all talk up their players. No, they don't. I disagree. They may in the public, like Dabo Swinney may get up there and talk about Walter Payton and Michael Jordan. Those are two pretty easy prospects to blow smoke about, by the way, Deshaun Watson and Travis Etienne. But there's, you know, that's one thing. But when you get behind closed doors, when you get a strength coach or whatever coach on their staff is responsible for dealing with scouts and talking directly with scouts, they have to. It's their job to say, yes, the kid's physically talented. He's really strong, but he's not committed to the weight room. He doesn't get enough sleep. His nutrition's not there. He's immature. That they are like brutally honest.
I was gonna say, how honest are they? Like
they're
how
brutally honest. They are brutally honest about their athletes and because they have to.
I always feel like a guy like Nick Saban is, but I wonder how, because it helps their program. Like Davis Mills getting drafted in the third round helps with 11 starts, helps his program. So you would think
sure
that he pushes them up, but you think with the context these guys have.
You can't blow. It's very difficult to blow smoke about a guy, is what I'm saying. It's very difficult. Like if Dabo Swinney, as call him whatever you want. I don't know, dramatic or whatever. With all these comparisons with his players,
gotta wait for
that's fine. That's fine. We can all laugh at that. But ultimately, he's not saying those things about Travis Etienne if he doesn't commit to the weight room. Right, if he's out, if he's failed 15 drug tests since he's been in college, if he's not saying those things,
he may have overblown it, but
oh yeah,
within it, you know, he
ultimately you get the point, right? I mean that's where he's coming from. I just when I hear, and there are coaches out there that I think are motivators that are you know they're gonna have futures in the media and futures in motivational speaking and things like that that'll blow some smoke, right? But I'm going to tell you, man, David Shaw does not strike me as a guy, never has struck me as a guy that blows smoke. And I believe when he says Davis Mills is as pro-ready as a college quarterback can be at this point in time, doesn't mean he's going to do a damn thing in the NFL, but he believes he's pro-ready right now. I don't believe he would say that if this kid didn't have poison in the pocket, or if this kid wasn't disciplined and didn't study film the way he should, or this kid couldn't read coverages and couldn't make opposite calls and get hit the team in the right run play. I just don't believe David Shaw would do that. And so I take this to the bank.
Clint Sterner, run the show here with you. And that was the thing for me is, I'm going to lie to you. I didn't love the pick at 67. I didn't love it with your
first
pick.
For the Texans,
pick.
I didn't either.
Yes, especially like I in my head, I can remember when the pick was made, you saying, third round, no. If any of those quarterbacks that we've talked about, and he was in that group of the Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, like if they're in the fourth round, then, you know, we could talk about it. I kept hearing that in my mind. So I didn't love the pick, but the big thing that I did like about it was where he was coming from and who he had been sure. groomed under. And David Shaw, who I think is an NFL head coach, right? We talk about guys that Saban, guys in college that can prepare players. I think David Shaw is a guy that's right up there, and I think David Shaw potentially is going to be a head coach in the NFL. I think if he wants it, he can be. And so I did love where he's coming from and the style that he's coming from and the offense that he played under. That was the big part about it. Even though I didn't love the pick, I did love, all right, he's coming from David Shaw, Stanford. They generally have, especially pro style, prepare their quarterbacks in a major way, in a good way. So that part about it, I did like.
Yeah, no, there's no question, Show. I mean, I think when you talk about pro NFL like systems, there's a handful of them in college football, right? Alabama's obviously one of them. The way that they play ball. Stanford's obviously one of them. You can throw Clemson in there. Ohio State's in there. And then there's some that are just the programs are built different. Different kind of coaches, different approaches, different schemes, different ways of dealing with players. And the ones in the past, now this may be changing because the pro game's changing, the college game is changing. Nothing stays the same. But in the past, over several years, Stanford's always produced, you know, the players that transition from quarterbacks that transition from college to the NFL and appear to be a little bit more pro ready. Do you know I lost a case of Coors Light. In fact, I owe it to somebody out there. I think they hit me on Twitter. I lost a case of Coors Light. You know what the bet was?
What?
That all three of the quarterbacks, Mond, Trask, and Mills, would not be there when the Texans got drafted. When the Texans,
oh yeah,
drafted.
You did say that, and they were all. Well, I guess Mills was there, but they were all. Yeah, they were just. They yeah. just rolled right yeah. there. They went on a run right there ahead of.
Right. So I'm sitting there with two picks to go to the Texans, and I'm going. I'm finna give me a case of cold Coors Light. Nope. Bang, bang, bang. All right three there. Of them. They were all three gone with the Texans pick.
Right there.
So whoever that is out there that owe that Coors Light to, let me know. I'll pay up, man.
You better get it to
him. I'll pay up. It's the least I can do.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. This Aaron Rodgers thing is not slowing down, Clint. Over the weekend, Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports reports a bombshell that Aaron Rodgers apparently wants the GM fired for the Packers. I wonder if Aaron Rodgers is putting his foot down. If this is him, is this a move? All right, you want me to stay here because they said they're not trading him. You wow. want me to stay here. He's putting his foot down saying, from Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, a guy that this is not a pull stuff out of my ass guy. All right, like, I mean, you know, stories, not anything nasty like people are thinking. But saying that Rodgers wants the Packers GM fired. I'm concerned for that man's job.
I mean, come on, you can't fire the dude that got you to two straight NFC championships. How long has Brian G been there?
I don't know how long he's been there.
I mean, if he's responsible for the teams that were built to go to two straight NFC championships, you have a hell of a time firing him.
You don't think anybody said, we didn't trade him when we had the opportunity to get the number three pick in the draft and other stuff. And you're going to have to take this one for the team, Brian.
They can't do that. They can't set that precedent.
What kind of power has Aaron got? Well, I mean, it's not like Brian doesn't have a cause for getting his ass fired. I mean, he's done some things.
Look, he ain't going nowhere. Green Bay Packers director of player personnel 2016 through 2017, 2 years there. Green Bay Packers general manager from 2018 to present. The last 5 years, you can say this man built that team.
Well, you could say this man had Aaron Rodgers help him look real good with the building of this
team. Yeah, or you could say he kept Aaron Rodgers from going to another Super Bowl.
Or you could say other people within that organization say, you got to sit here right now with a pissed off Aaron Rodgers because you felt the need to draft his replacement when they're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
We'll see what kind of power Aaron Rodgers has, but that thing looks like it's about to go wild like the Deshaun Watson situation with the Texans. Booger McFarland, two-time champion, and covered for ESPN the draft all weekend long. He is going to join us next, and we got to figure out from him if he had any issue with the Texans going with best player available as opposed to the countless needs that they have. Booger McFarland next.
Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, looking to be joined by ESPN's Booger McFarland, who was there all weekend, two-time Super Bowl champ, all weekend covering the draft for ESPN.
Was he in Nashville, too?
I don't remember him in Nashville.
600,000 in Nashville. You think Cleveland compared?
No. But they were filling him. They were filling him.
Cleveland did a nice job, though. That was a nice presentation.
It was nice.
I could have done without the commissioner's chair right over in the corner.
I enjoyed the Macho Man.
What's his real name, though?
I don't know what his
name is. What team was he rooting for?
The Browns.
Yeah, it's was it the Browns?
It was the Browns. I know he's a fan favorite there, but he really got after it.
He doesn't go by Macho Man, though. He goes by something else. Like they just changed the first letter or something.
Oh.
What is it?
I don't know, but that's what
– Macho Fan.
Macho Fan?
Yeah, not Man. That's what it is.
Macho Fan. Well, he brought it, man. He was up
He
there.
Looked the part. Hell, I thought it was him.
Then I realized he was passed. Yeah, the manner you thought it was him. You didn't realize he was
Macho Man. I didn't know. I watched that last night. Did you watch that?
Oh, hell yeah. You know,
I didn't realize that he wrecked his car.
Yeah, that's how he passed away. Macho Man wasn't there, but Macho Fan was there, and Roger Goodell's chair from last year's draft. But joining us now, Booger McFarland, two-time Super Bowl champ, covered the draft all weekend, and we got to get your thoughts on what the Texans did. But I got to tell you, man, I think it was Friday night, that green suit you had on. Yeah, and I said, boy, Booker's up there feeling himself, looking good, clean as a whistle. I don't know that I can pull off that green suit, but Booker, you sure as hell did.
Well, first of all, appreciate it, man. And listen, when choosing colors to wear on TV, if you know everybody's going to have on gray and blue and you want to stand out a little bit, you got to come up with something different, man.
Yeah, that you did it. That green, boy, that was clean.
Hey, Boog, what was the atmosphere like, man? It's been 2 years since we've seen a live draft. It looked really good on TV. 600,000 in Nashville. That was a tall bar to set, obviously. How was Cleveland, man?
Cleveland was good, man. I mean, there were probably 50,000 to 75,000 people there over the course of 3 days. Atmosphere was good. It was more of an enclosed environment, so it felt like it was a lot more people than were actually there. So Cleveland did a great job, and the weather was pretty good. It actually was a little chilly on Friday night and Saturday, but overall it was good.
All right, Booger McFarland, ESPN, in with us to discuss the draft. And I'm curious your thoughts about what the Texans did. How did you feel about what it appeared they just went – to them, best available as opposed to some of the needs that it seems like they need to feel, especially defensively. What was your thoughts on how they addressed the draft?
Well, they got a lot of needs, so I don't think they had enough picks in the draft to fill all the needs, so there's really no need in trying to approach the draft that way. I think that, taking best player available, I think you take guys with good traits, guys that have a good background. There's a reason some of these guys that are going to be in the third, fourth, fifth round. And, when you have uncertainty at the quarterback position, when you have a new defense coming in with Lovie Smith, there are things that you can always plug in. I think Houston's best is going to be best when it comes to the draft after they're in this system. Because it's one thing for Lovie to tell Nick, hey, here's what I need, here's what I want. I think after Nick sees this defense in action for a year and you see in a year how the quarterback situation is going to play out on and off the field, I think he'll have a better idea of what he needs next year. But I think right now he did the right thing. You take best player available at every spot that you are, and you move on from there.
Booger, what were you hearing about the Davis Mills pick in particular there with your crew? I think on day two, that was one that really stood out. And more so, first of all, what were you hearing? Secondly, what does this tell you about the Houston Texans and the Deshaun Watson marriage?
Well, I don't think it says anything. Like Davis Mills, I don't think he is in any danger of coming in and saying, okay, Davis is going to be your quarterback of the future. I think what you look at is really simple, is that, you probably needed to address the position. Tyrod Taylor, I think we all like Tyrod, but Tyrod hasn't been long for anywhere. Davis Mills, former five-star guy, man. Like, so the traits are there. There was some concern about the knee, which I think, most doctors, every team doctor has to make their organization feel comfortable. There was concerns that he only started 11 games. And so I think this was a pick that you make in the third round. If he plays up to his ceiling, then guess what? You got a former five-star guy, just like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, who was just a late bloomer. And you really hit gold. If he doesn't, then guess what? It's a third-round pick. You move on and you keep it rolling. So I think in the end, I like the Davis Mills pick because the draft is about potential, man. That's what it's all about. Like, there's really only about 5 or 10 guys in every draft where you say, man, this guy, it can't miss for whatever reason. Other than that, every other guy is about potential and how you think he could fit in the right system. So I like the Mills pick. I like the Brevin Jordan pick at tight end, a guy, at the very worst, he's going to be a guy you can move around and he can be a matchup nightmare for linebackers and safeties. Nico Collins, big wide receiver. You figure a guy that's 6'4", he's going to be a tough matchup on 50-50 balls and down in the red zone. So there's talent there. I don't think you got any stars like right now. All the talent's going to have to be developed over time, which, to be honest, that's what most organizations have to deal with.
All right, Booger McFarland here with us, ESPN, Cover the Draft. You brought up Brevin Jordan, and he is a guy out of Miami, the tight end, that a lot of people have been pretty high on and had high draft grades on. Some people thought he could be the second best tight end in this draft. What is the thought process of why he would be available there in the fifth round when you start to look at all of the natural talent it seems like he has?
Well, just some inconsistency as a receiver. Like if you're saying, okay, I want a tight end that can catch the football, you're going to get Kyle Pitts. If I'm looking for a guy that can maybe do it all, I'm going to get Freiermuth from Penn State. If I'm looking maybe a bigger guy, I'm going to get Long from, I believe it was Boston College. So Brevin's just kind of like what is he? Like what does he do better than the rest of the people? He's a really good athlete. I don't know if he's ever going to be a really good blocker. So you're basically talking about a guy like a Jonnu Smith. He can position block a little bit, but this is going to be a guy that you're looking for to create matchups in the passing game. And so it's really kind of a niche player. And I think when you start taking niche players who don't have transcendent traits, I think this is where you get guys like that at.
Booger, where with the rest of the draft, everybody else, man, give me a couple of teams that really stood out for you. And we're going to keep our fingers crossed and hope that they didn't land in the same division with the Texans moving forward. But give me two, three teams that you think just killed it in this draft.
Well, I think the Jets killed it. I do. I think anytime you get a quarterback and a guard that they're going to start from day one, I think you got to feel really good about what they did. Who else? I like what Carolina did. I like what Detroit. Man, I mean, I think if I had to rank them, teams who like the top three, I would probably go the Jets would be one, Detroit would be two, and then I'm thinking who else?
Denver had a good one.
Denver had a good one. I like what the Chargers did. They got Slater, Sante Samuel, this guy who at the very worst can play nickel. Josh Palmer,
You know, you got Mike Williams, you got Keenan Allen, now you got Palmer as maybe a three. I like what they did. Kansas City. Here's the thing about Kansas City. So Kansas City didn't have a first round pick, but you have to lump in the first round pick that they traded away for Orlando Brown. So think about this. Kansas City got Orlando Brown with a first round pick. All right. He's gonna start at left tackle. You got Nick Bolton, that's a running hit linebacker. At the very worst, he'll play special teams. He'll probably challenge to be part of the rotation. Creed Humphrey, the center, he'll probably start by the middle of the season. And the guy that I really like, Trey Smith, the guard they got in the sixth round, he'll be a Pro Bowler in 2 years. Like, I think he's that good. And he was a former five-star player out of Tennessee. He had some blood clots in his lungs. He had to take, a long time off. As long as his health is there, he'll be a Pro Bowl guard in 2 years. Mark my words. You can say the tape and play it back next time I come on your radio show in a couple of years. He'll be a Pro Bowl guard, and they got him in the sixth round. So I really like what Kansas City did when you include the first-round pick they traded for Orlando Brown.
Mm. All right, Booger. Appreciate you jumping on with us. Before we get out, I gotta ask you this. Has Aaron Rodgers played his last game as a Green Bay Packer?
It's up to him. If he says he has, then he has. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, think about this. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is not hurting for money now. And usually the people who can't sit out are the guys that don't have enough money. And if you look at Aaron Rodgers' career, and I'm actually on the internet right now, so I'll tell you in like 2 seconds from a career earning standpoint, I'm going to show you how much money that Aaron Rodgers
has made. It's like 240, I think.
Aaron Rodgers is right now, he's sitting on $240 million. So Aaron Rodgers cannot play a down the rest of his life and be fine. So if in his mind, if his conviction has come up and says that he's not playing for the organization no more, he doesn't have to play. Like, they can fine him $3 million. It doesn't matter. He's made $240 plus on the field, and we're not even counting off the field. So this is strictly up to him. Like, he doesn't have to be pressured because of money. He is in a situation where if in his mind he has said, I am not playing for them anymore because of X, he doesn't have to play. So it's totally up to him. And based on what Schefter and all these guys are reporting, he's done. So if that's the case, then I'm going to go with him until I hear a difference. Sounds like he's done.
Booger, where's the next golf game, man? Where's the next – what course you playing next?
I'm going to be around here in Tampa for a little while, man. I got to come out in the Houston area. You know, Blue Jack National is one of my favorite. I got to get back out there. I'm going to try to get up and play wing foot this summer. So I'm going to go up to the East Coast a little bit. But right now I'll be in Florida, man, for the next month or so, and then we'll move around. I waited too late to go to Augusta. They close up in a couple of weeks, so I'm not going to be able to get up there. But you know me, Dirty Red. I play anywhere. So if somebody invites me, I'm going to figure out a way to show up. But Blue Jack National is one of my favorite out there in Montgomery, Texas.
Well, how about this? Next time you come this direction, text me on the way in instead of the way out, you dirty sucker.
Hey, well, listen. Hey, here's the thing I learned a long time ago. You text people on the way out. That way they don't ask to go where you're going. And then you can always, man, I thought about you, but I just, man, next time I think about you on the way in.
Booger McFarland, the person who demoralized me when I bought my Peloton and I saw the numbers that he puts up.
Speaking of Peloton, Dirty Red, are you actually going to pedal the thing? Or are you just going to sit on there and listen to the music?
God, don't look at my numbers. See, they're telling you. I looked at him. I said, there's no way possible he's doing this.
It's unbelievable.
There's no way. No way possible.
He texts me, let's ride, Dirty. And I look at his numbers, and it's 309 output.
Get
I'm like, man,
here.
Get the hell out of here. I couldn't walk for 3 days if I did that.
No, I can't do Dirty it. Red. I can't do it in one time. Once is average, I can't hit one time.
Listen, all you got to be able to do, man, is this. The Peloton is no different than going to run wind sprints. Is that you have to build up. First of all, nobody can ride 30 minutes straight at one speed. Like, that's those pro cyclists do that. It's no different than going out running gassers. If you were to go out and run a half gasser, how much time would you take in between, Dirty Red? Like, what, 30, 40 seconds? So that's what you got to realize when you do this bike. You're going to warm up for 4 or 5 minutes, and then you're going to do sprints for 30, 45 seconds. And then you take off, and you idle down for about 30, and then you ramp it back up again. So you got to give your body a chance to recover, and then you hit it back again. That's all I do. If you ever look at mine, all I do is intervals. Like, I'll go hard for 45, a minute, 30 seconds, then I'm going to take 15, 20 seconds off to recoup, and then I go back at it. So if that ticker in your chest can get in shape, then you can do it. Now, if you're out of shape, then that's nothing you can do, man.
Oh, I can work towards it. I can work. I guess you just said to hell with the coach, huh? You just paid for the bike and said to hell with the coach?
No, you know what I do is I choose interval classes. Like, those are the classes I like doing. So I'm always going to do intervals. And each class has a warm-up. So the warm-up, I just do my own thing. I just ride 5 minutes and get loose. And once the warm-up is over, then I take the intervals as they come.
All right, Booger, thank you. I mean, you've given us a lesson. It's
well,
so much.
Listen, I want you guys to be around a little bit. And, you know, everybody says, man, how do you do that on the bike? It's really simple. It's about effort and realizing when you step on that bike, it's not going to be easy. Now, if you want to get on there and sit there and answer the phone and drink water and talk and watch TV, that's not going to happen. Think about me when I get on there. I don't drink water from the time I get on to the time I get off. TV's not on. The phone is on silent. Like, I'm on a 30-minute mission. Now, if that's what you're out to do, if you're out to grind, and if you want to be about their life, then that's what you do. Now, if you want to, you know, I see soccer moms walking up and down the street exercising while talking on the phone. I'm like, that's not exercise. Y'all just chit-chatting, you know?
All right. Get out of
here. How do you exercise while on the phone? So, again, make up your mind what you want to do, and then, okay, you know what? That's enough. I'm going to be quiet because I could go on for the next 20 minutes.
I know you can. I'll
stop. We just lost 10 of our soccer moms that listen.
They're texting and calling. Moms driving those Tacomas.
But this, though, have you ever seen the mom that walks down the street and she's exercising, but she's on the phone? Who exercises on the phone? Like, if you are exercising, your breathing needs to accelerate just a little bit, right?
Yes.
How can you talk with an accelerated breath? I never understand that.
Oh, man. Booger McFarland, the best in the business. We appreciate you jumping on with us and giving us everything that you gave us. And please, out there, learn those exercise habits that Booger's giving us. Thanks, Book.
Hey, Dirty Red, congratulations on the wedding, man. Hey, you better drop that extra 15 you done gained, by the way.
God, Booger's out of here. I
appreciate it. I'll be waiting for that gift and that old Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl champ gift in the mail, bub. I'll get on that Peloton, too.
Hey, I give it to you every time I come on here. It's called advice.
Booger McFarland. He's feeling it. Booger McFarland, ESPN. Thank you for joining us, man. Look, everything he talked about, I do. I go, Clint, I do intervals. Just like him. No, I don't go without drinking no water in no 30 minutes. I'll pass. Right.
Water's for the weak.
I'm not on that. I'll pass right to smooth off that bike. But I go intervals. I do it just like he does. Just like he said. I'm not getting to no 309.
He must be going a little harder than you.
A little. A lot harder. Everything he said. Them 20s. I am out. Did it this morning. Was out cold. No chance.
Hold on, so.
Yeah, Booger's on something else. Yeah, I can't do that. I hope he never finds me to ask me to ride with him. I'd just quit the thing. Oh, boy. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Shout out thanks to Booger McFarland. If you missed that, 435, use the Odyssey app, formerly the radio.com app, the Odyssey app. You can use that wonderful feature, Odyssey Rewind, to hear everything Booger McFarland gave us there. All right, 5 o'clock fire coming up, and we got to get to the thought of Davis Mills, the quarterback that the Texans drafted in the third round. Now that you found out they've drafted a quarterback, how do you feel about that being the pick? We'll get into that coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.